What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. And I always like to say this is not a show exclusively for women, because so much of what we share on this program and the wisdom that my guests bring to this experience is benefiting all of us. So I welcome both men and women to this program, especially today's program. We want all of you guys to be listening in. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and it's great having you join us today for another exploration and in-depth conversation into subjects that all of us really must know. Well, it's been an amazing summer. It certainly has been heating up where I live. We haven't probably seen anything less than 105 in the last few weeks here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we certainly want to be aware of what we need to do to look after ourselves in the heat. So wherever you are, if you're in a heat zone, then be sure you're staying cool, drinking lots of water, staying hydrated, and getting your minerals, electrolytes, which actually all dissipate out of the body when we sweat. So look after yourself. Stay cool. I also want to remind everyone that if you visit my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, if you opt in there, then you will be on my list. You will get my special reports. I've got several special reports that you will get immediately. You will be on the list, so the future e-blast and articles, and I've got some really important things I'll be sharing with you. I'll be sending out regular communications about all the upcoming guests and the new research that I'm doing. Lots to share as we start this next school year. I kind of see it as a new cycle. And I just don't want you to miss out. And one other thing, I have another great radio show on this very network every Sunday at 4 p.m. called the Women's Healing Circle, and it's another opportunity as a call-in show. So this is a chance, if you do have any questions or comments, you need any assistance, please call in. I always have very inspiring guests on that show, so you can learn as well as get supported and get some of your important questions answered, and you're more than welcome to join me live every Sunday. Right here, it's all happening. It's a great great place to be, Progressive Radio Network. So let's talk about the topic at hand. I'm wondering how many of you, well, a couple of things I want to ask. How many of you have actually done your annual workups, you know, where you go in and you get your blood test done, and your doctor comes back, gives you the reports and says, okay, you're in reference range, you're out of reference range. If you're in the normal reference range, you're good to go. If you're out, then they may recommend some, I don't know, usually medications, perhaps some dietary advice, and then you're on your way. Or the other question I have, how many of you are dealing with health challenges personally? Perhaps you've got relatives, friends, colleagues, maybe there's a history of some serious health issues within your family, and you just don't seem to be getting answers. You're just not getting better. No one really might even know what the problem is, and even if they do, they may not be able to bring whatever issues are out of balance into balance, and there you are, kind of left high and dry. And there's one other question I have. What happens if you did have an episode of a chronic illness? Perhaps you've had a diagnosis of breast cancer. Perhaps there's an autoimmune disease. Perhaps there's cardiovascular disease. What are you doing to ensure that you do not have a recurrence of it? What can you do? What are the action steps? You know, there's nothing more frustrating, and there's no greater sense of powerlessness when you've dealt with a chronic illness than to kind of sit there with your fingers crossed, hoping that you're through it, hoping that this is the end of this horrible experience, that it's never going to occur again. But you don't really know if there are things you should be doing to support your health for the long term. These are all really important issues that we're facing on a daily basis. So I'm so glad you're listening into the show today, because my guest today, Ellie Cullen, who is the author of a really important book, I believe, called Normal Blood Test Scores Aren't Good Enough, will be explaining a lot of the strategies that we can be taking. She will help us understand what's the real story with the results we're getting on our blood tests, and what do we do to really step in and get control of our health for the long term. So just give me a minute. Let me give you a little background on Ellie. Ellie Cullen has been a licensed registered nurse for more than 30 years. She trained at Johns Hopkins and has over 25 years of intensive clinical nursing, nutrition, and lifestyle consulting experience. She has personally overcome arthritis and low blood sugar using her Your Future Health System, which we're going to talk about. Ellie has lectured for doctors and health organizations for the last 25 years and works with clients all over the world. So it's a great pleasure to invite Ellie to the show today. So hello, Ellie, are you there?
I am, and I'm delighted to be here too.
Well, it's really a pleasure. I've been looking forward to having you on the show. We have lots to talk about, this whole issue of blood test scores and what they mean and what do we really do as far as a preventative model to ensure that either we don't get sick or when we do have an illness that's occurred, we don't have it coming back. So this is really important information. And I always like to start by asking you personally, Ellie, what brought you to this world? What brought you to write your book? And we'll be talking more about the services and the unique services that you provide. But how did you go from obviously a highly qualified nurse into the realm of providing people with a deeper insight into what's going on with their bodies from a nutritional point of view and a diagnostic point of view?
Well, thank you for asking that, because it is how we got our business started. I was sick. So it all got started, quite frankly, with my being sick with arthritis, and I went back to Hopkins, and I love them to death, but they weren't able to do anything for that problem. And as a result, we decided that I had to do more. So I did. I was actually bedridden with my arthritis. And what I ended up doing was getting a bunch of doctors to rally around me and go with the research that I had and say, this looks like a good thing to do. So I started my own company with their backing, and many of them are still with me today, in fact. Some have passed on because some of them were quite old when they started with me, and we've been here for 30, 40 years or so now working.
Really? So, really?
Yes.
Your company?
Yes.
So
I should tell you, I've been a nurse for over 40 years now. I've gotten older, unfortunately.
Oh, well, your book just keeps get older as the book continues. But so you didn't just have arthritis. I mean, you had a really chronic condition.
I was bedridden. My husband used to have to lift me out of bed every day, Cheryl, and stand me on my feet. And then I just had to stand that way to take care of the children during the day, because if I sat down, I couldn't get back up with my own, unless someone helped me to get back up. So it really was quite terrible. Now, that was when I was in an exacerbation, and anyone who has rheumatoid arthritis knows it comes and goes. And whereas osteoarthritis is pretty much with you most of the time, but rheumatoid comes and goes. And so when I was in an exacerbation, it was devastating. And it's very difficult to have little children and not be able to care for them and in the way that you know you want to, and to be in pain all the time. And I tell people quite readily that I almost became an alcoholic because, not that I did, but it would have been easy to do, and I can understand how that could happen for someone that uses alcohol as a crutch when they're in pain, because I didn't want to use medication. They made me extremely sick. I tried everything that they gave me for a medication, because I was from a medication world. I wasn't into nutrition at that time. And the doctor would say, you could have just a little glass of wine in the afternoon, and that'll help ease your pain to get into the evening. So I started doing that, and I found, wow, I can't do that at all, because it would just be so easy to let that become a crutch, and I have to find a way around this and fix it. And I did. And I now know certain foods that are deadly for me, certain stresses that are deadly for me, and if I do them, I will get sick again. It is a disease like alcoholism, in fact, that you have for the rest of your life. and you never get rid of it. You simply put it into remission permanently and manage it. And that's what our company is all about doing.
So you had rheumatoid arthritis.
And osteoarthritis and psoriatic arthritis. I had three different kinds of arthritis.
You had three different forms.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I was always sick with something, because when the rheumatoid was under control, then the psoriatic would break out. And that's essentially an arthritis that comes with psoriasis. And there might be some individuals out there that don't realize when they have psoriasis, they might have some accompanying joint pain. It's actually a disease called psoriatic arthritis. And it is fixable. Again, manageable. I do not feel anyone ever permanently is rid of it. If you do what it takes to get it back, you will get it back. But if you do what it takes to manage it, you will stay in remission and pain-free.
Because these are, you know, these are tendencies that we have, whether it's a genetic tendency, wherever they come from,
mm-hmm.
we can't wander too far from good nutrition, good supplement support, because our body will, without that kind of support, then these imbalances start to show up again. So it kind of makes you stay on the straight and narrow, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and that's the reason more testing was needed. The testing that was available to me simply wasn't good enough. Not that we don't have the best available, but generally insurance is going to pay for it, and they have a limited number of tests that they're going to cover, and if it's not one of those, well, then they're exorbitantly priced. I wanted to get some testing done that was going to be priced correctly that the general public could use, and I started with myself and my family. My husband had severe hypoglycemia or low blood sugars with migraine headaches that came from that. Our daughter was born with a form, it wasn't really epilepsy, but they thought she was epileptic, but she really wasn't. It was a blood sugar issue as well. She was born with that. And our son was born, it's on my website, in fact, devastatingly, at a year of age, he was still in the 20th percentile for weight, and they told me he would die. And I just wasn't going to put up with that or accept that. And I persevered with the help of, as I say, the backing of several doctors to get my company off the ground and to get the testing that we needed, to get the answers we needed. And when you have the answers, you can fix things. It's amazing.
So what were some of your answers?
Well, for me personally, some of the things that I needed to do, for example.
Yeah.
One of the things for me was I had a bad thyroid, and that was causing me to be overweight also. And the thyroid gland needs so many nutrients. And what many people do not understand about their thyroid gland is that it cleans the blood for us. It's one of the first organs that's going to do that. We think of the liver and the kidneys cleaning the blood and the bowel, you know, carrying waste out and so forth. But really, the thyroid, every 17 minutes, your blood passes through your thyroid gland, and bacteria and virus and so forth is being cleaned in there. So when your thyroid is overloaded from inflammation and disease, then it's not going to work as it should, and that contributed to my weight, which also contributed to my digestion, which contributed to everything. So I had to fix my thyroid, and the red blood cell analysis test that we now have today will actually show you, do you have enough selenium? If you don't, your thyroid is going to malfunction. Do you have enough zinc? If you don't, your thyroid is going to malfunction. Do you have enough potassium? Your thyroid will malfunction. Also, it looks into things like chromium, which are very important for good thyroid function too, and magnesium, you know, regulates everything. So there's 13 different essential nutrients in that one test. And what happens is other doctors can order that for the people, but they don't really understand the true significance of the data that they're getting. It's because of all the data we have that we can say, well, yeah, that looks like you're in the normal range there, but that's not a good score for you. And statistically, if you will change that score, you will change the outcome of what happens with your body. And that's what I did. I took this new testing that I was eligible now to get done, used the data, and got well.
Okay, so you had these three very chronic forms of arthritis.
My dad died at 34, or not died, but he had a very serious heart attack at 34, so we had cardiovascular problems too.
So you were debilitated for a long time, couldn't find answers until you began to do your own investigation.
That is correct.
Right. Okay, so what did you... So take us through what you did to find the answers that helped to bring you back into remission.
Well, I did a test called the Health Print. It's basically a chemistry test that any doctor can order for you, but we do a few things differently. One is we get a plasma glucose. That's very important because it's going to register how much glucose you're really getting to the cell structure and the plasma level. And generally we do what's called a serum glucose in the traditional chemistries that are done. So we include this plasma glucose. That's really important. You've got to get the right blood sugar because that's how the cells are nourished, right? And remember that all foods that we eat, including protein foods, eventually break down into this glucose source. And people don't think of that. They think, oh, to get glucose, I need to eat sugar. No, no. We need to eat more protein. Protein will also break down into glucose, as well as, you know, vegetables and some nuts and so forth and so on. But we do want to get all those foods in. Now, once we get that done, we have to look at our circulation. And my circulation was very poor. I needed to get more fish oil into my diet for me personally because I do have this bad gene for circulation. So once I discovered that, very important. If you don't have good circulation, this is a very easy concept for people to get. Circulation carries the nutrients to the cell. Circulation is responsible for removing the waste. If you have poor circulation, you will be sick. It's just a matter of time because you can't get the nutrients out there even if you eat them, and you can't remove the waste. So you're going to get toxic, thyroid's going to overload, other systems are going to overload. So getting rid of disease, for me, depended on getting better circulation, a better functioning thyroid gland, definitely getting more glucose inside my cells so I could have more energy and strength to my cells. And then for me, I was extremely deficient, and I remain such. I have to supplement high levels of zinc all the time. Zinc is something that is destroyed by stress for many individuals, in fact, most individuals. There are a few people who don't destroy zinc, but I destroy it just massively. In 24 hours, my zinc level can be down to next to nothing. So I have to do a lot of work on my zinc, and zinc drives the immune system, which drives all the diseases that I had. So zinc was key. Selenium was key. Knowing that I would get the right amount of that. Chromium to keep my blood sugar balanced was key. And then also, of course, when you're talking joints, we wanted to know the calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, boron, manganese levels, a test called alkaline phosphatase. All these things run together to tell us about our bones and about our joints. And when they're out of balance, you will have joint pain. So it is one of the things that I also had to work very hard on, was getting that balanced, having enough of each of those nutrients in the right balance. So you need more magnesium than calcium, and most people actually have more calcium than magnesium. 99% of the people we test will have an imbalance in this area. And it does make a big difference once they get that adjusted. So those are the things that I had to do. I did also have to exercise and get enough rest and drink plenty of good water, not just city water, but, you know, I always like good distilled water, only because today spring water, it's hard for us to get really good spring water. If we could, of course, that would be nice. But I use the distilled and then supplement with the extra supplements that I might need based on the blood test result I get. And it changes all the time. You know, based on your stress level and your activity level, you're going to use up certain nutrients, and that's why people should test at least once a year.
Okay, so you went in and found what your nutritional status was, and as a result, you were able to make the adjustments, took more of the specific nutrients that your body needed to help it function more optimally, and that was a critical piece that helped. You.
Right, and that was what I wasn't getting through the medical profession, and that's not to put that down. We have doctors on our staff. We work with doctors every day, and our doctors order blood tests for us, so that's not the issue. But the issue was that these were not something that I was able to get done. I needed special tests. I needed tests different from what I was being offered, and I needed the data, too. And now with all these years of data, it's making such a difference for me.
Right. You know, because we're going to be talking about some of the experiences you've had. But so out of this experience, you created your company called Your Future Health that had what's the mission statement? What is the purpose of Your Future Health?
Our mission really is to help people worldwide, and we do have people in 12 different countries as well as all 50 states that use our company for testing and interpreting their scores and then their nutritional action plan. And that is our goal, is to help the world become a healthier place, and one person at a time. And you're helping us get the word out today to more people that we might be able to help.
Well, it's a really important message because, and you know, you can get your blood workup done, but it's not necessarily, as you were sharing in your experience, going to tell you what your symptoms are really crying. You know, it's like, you know, blinking neon light. Your body's crying out for something that will allow it to function optimally, and obviously it's not getting it or not able to and doesn't have the basic nutrients so it can carry on its functions, which is the root cause of all illness, no matter mm-hmm. what the name may be. And the traditional approach of just seeing if you are in or out of reference range and then giving you a medication that will help you get in or back, you know, out into the proper range is really missing the big message that the body's giving.
Yes, there's two things here. One is a lot of people get no symptoms at all, but they're about to die, and they need to have some testing done so they can find that, as in pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, and ovarian cancer. Those are very deadly cancers. There are signs there through our testing that we can find it. You have no symptoms until you have 3 months to live. The second thing is that, yes, when the body does cry out and does have the symptoms, we do have to take action and do something about it and know what those nutrients are and make corrections. It's for me, this is just the most exciting field ever because it's cause and effect. Like, you see it, you fix it, and it's done. But sometimes there's a symptom, and sometimes there isn't. I just wanted to interject that because many people think, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I feel fine. And so they don't even do a yearly blood test. They don't even look for their trends. These ranges that are set by laboratories are set based on sick people's scores. Think about it. How many people go to their doctor to spend their money for a test unless they're sick or they have a symptom? Very few people. How many people does a doctor invite in to have testing done unless they have a symptom? There's something wrong with them. So the data that is collected to create normal ranges by the laboratories is skewed, if you will, towards illness. What I find is we're looking for prevention. We're looking for where is that first change. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to give what I think is a great example regards breast cancer.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Well, my mother had bilateral mastectomy done in her early 60s, lived to be 86 years old after that. And there was no cancer there, actually, at the time that they took the breast off. They did this biopsy. It's really kind of a fun story. My mom was just had a wonderful personality about it and did so well with it. But I said, could we go back in and do another biopsy? Because I've had her on this incredible plan since you found this tumor, and I'm hoping that it's gone. And everybody laughed at me and said, that's
how long
was
that?
Cancer doesn't go away. She'd only been on the program 3 months.
Okay.
A very aggressive program, complete change of diet, nutrient changes, et cetera. In 3 months' time, they went back in and did a bilateral mastectomy based on information from 3 months prior, which very often it does take that long to get someone in for surgery. She was going from Maryland to Chicago and so forth for a special doctor. So they didn't do a recheck, didn't do a rebiopsy, and took both breasts off, and I demanded that they would, you know, completely check this biopsy in full to tell me what cancer, how much of it, and so forth. There was none in the breast. It was completely gone. So I know that it is possible to do that. Not all forms of cancer can respond, and I'm not suggesting that someone should not use their physician, but I am suggesting that more data is needed because more women do not necessarily have to lose their breast and can find it so incredibly early. Now, my scores, for example, the range, the normal range by the laboratory is 0 to 59 for the typical breast cancer marker test that one might do. And I would point out that they won't generally order that test unless you've already had breast cancer because they don't think it's very accurate to be used for prevention purposes. It's extremely accurate to be used for prevention purposes, and every woman should have this test done at least yearly, every 6 months if they're at high risk. My score has never been above a 10. So my range is 5 to 10. That's my personal normal. That's a trademark term to our company, personal normal score. So my personal normal is between 5 and 10. If my score was 59, I'd be going ballistic.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For over 20 years, I've had a score 5 to 10, 5 to 10, 5 to 10. Mm. Suddenly, now if my score was to go 59, I would be berserk, but I would still be told that score was normal.
So what you're saying is that you have to, what you're able to do through your testing is give people their values that represent what's normal for them, and we're all different. And
yes.
a very good
early warning system can be used via our statistics.
Right.
You know, I may say to someone, well, my range is 5 to 10, but given your other testing and so forth and so on, probably this 20 that you just got is still an okay score for you. Let's check that again and make some changes and see if you can get that score down to a 10. If you can get it down to a 10 or a 5 or a 6 or an 11, if you can get it lower than the 20, then 20 never was your normal. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But
yes.
The normal range is 0 to 59.
So
we're always challenging people to get better scores.
So what you're offering people is a way that, let me just back up a minute. The way that the traditional tests are done and interpreted can leave a wide berth of possibilities, right?
Yes.
If you supposedly, as you said, if it was a reference range was based on whether it's, you know, health, sick people, healthy, whatever, but there's a huge range of what they consider normal, but just because you fall into that range, it doesn't mean you are operating
normal or out of trouble.
Right.
No, people die every day with normal scores, and that's why I wrote the book. Normal blood test scores aren't good enough because people die every day with a normal score. You can have pancreatic cancer with a normal score, and my best example of that is Judy Flickinger. She's a registered nurse, a cancer oncology specialist. She came to my company actually for some blood pressure issues, but actually we found pancreatic cancer for her, and you know, she had no symptoms. None whatsoever, but she had pancreatic cancer, and that was 10 years ago. She's still symptom-free, does not have pancreatic cancer any longer. We found it early enough for the excellent surgeon out in California to take that tumor off, and she is alive today, still, by the way, with her pancreas intact, because we found it while it was still on the outside of the pancreas and could be removed without damaging the organ itself. That is amazing. The doctor said it was nothing short of a miracle, and I said, miracle, it's using good data.
Well, that's pretty inspiring because whenever you can catch something early, and you know, these full body CT scans, that's not the way to go. You have to look inside the cells and really see what's going on with them. How are they nourished? What are they lacking? What is really going to support them? Which is why what you're doing is so fascinating to me, because I'm one of these gals. I like to get to the root cause. And when we can get to the root cause, then the changes can happen and can happen permanently.
Right. There are two cancer markers, by the way, for pancreatic cancer that they don't use. One is called a CEA test, carcinoembryonic antigen. It was a significant test for Judy. And if anyone wants to see that story, they actually did a nationwide and international coverage for us about that story because it was so dramatic. And it's on our website under YFH clients on TV nationwide. And they can see her story with her own words and her doctor being interviewed and everything about it. It's a very exciting thing. But the point is, the CEA is one and the other is the CA19-9. These are cancer marker tests. They are not generally run unless someone already has cancer, yet they are two of the most significant tests that we run with people to make sure they track their trends and get their lowest possible score for these tests, not what the range is. So you get a 32 for a CA19-9, you're considered normal. A good score, statistically speaking, is something less than a 5.
So you're much more specific, and in the case of Judy's story, she didn't even come to you doing a screen for cancer. She came to you for another reason, and this was revealed.
Right, exactly. She came to us really for blood pressure issues, and as we tested her a couple of times, we noticed a trend that was not going in the right direction and suggested that we do this CEA test. She spent a little more money this time and get this extra test done too. And sure enough, that score did not measure up to our statistics. We had her repeat it in 2 months and it had gone up yet again, all very in the normal range, because up to a 10 is considered normal. And she had cancer with 4.
Wow.
4.2, I think, was her exact score.
Because you knew her own personal
Yeah, her trend was not right. When certain things are out of line, if you have a low vitamin D, 17 different cancers are linked to low vitamin D. Now, that's a test people don't always have to use our company for. That's a test many doctors will order it today because they know vitamin D is important. The problem is they tell people the wrong amount of D to have. If you get a 45, they tell you most of the time that's a pretty good score. Right. That is not a good score. A good score, if you do the test I'm talking about called a 25-hydroxyvitamin D test, if you do that test, a good score is 80 to 100. Right. The doctor will say, oh, that's way too high. It's not. That's how people stay safe with 80 to 100. Our statistics show that. I have people with cancer today with a 45.
Right.
That's not a good score, no matter right. what your doctor tells you about that. And it's not your doctor's fault. He or she is just not privy to this kind of data.
Yeah, you know, and again, it falls into the reference range, but I always say, like you were saying, especially in regards to vitamin D, we're going for optimal because just low end of normal is abnormal.
Yes.
Not going to be good enough.
Yeah, let me tell you, somebody getting a 25 or less or even a 30 for their vitamin D, if you're listening and you've had that test done, go scrounge up the test. See if it is a 25-hydroxy D. And if you're confused, call us and we'll help you understand it. But the point is, that's a bad score. You may not have cancer yet, but you're going to get it if you don't correct that score. It's a statistical fact. It's just a matter of time.
You know, Ellie, this is a great conversation. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and you'll be able to explain more about your services, what you've been discovering, some of the other case histories, which are pretty inspiring. So this is all about taking your health in your own hands, and that's really what we need to do to be responsible for our health. So, Ellie, hang in there. We'll be right back, and all my listeners, don't go away because there's more important information to come. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and we are having such a fascinating conversation with registered nurse Ellie Cullen, who is the author of Normal Blood Test Scores Aren't Good Enough. So, Ellie, what do we need to know about the way our when we get our blood work up and we get the results back, what are some of the important things we need to know to look at that our doctors may not know?
Well, one is something you can't know from looking at the test, but I would like to get that said before I forget it to say it to people, and that is, for example, if you're looking at thyroid and you're concerned about your thyroid, and there are a lot of people doing thyroid testing today for energy level, metabolism issues, weight control problems, it is important what tube is used. And we are the only company that I know of that uses a glass tube for that test. We have to order the tube special, and so when they look in the box, these tubes are glass. We hope they don't look in the box. Actually, we ask people not to open it until they get it to the laboratory or to the place that's going to draw it for them. However, they're glass tubes. They're special tubes, and they make a difference in the score that you're going to get on your test. And 99% of all thyroid testing is done on plastic. There is a difference in the heat transference and spinning times, that does make a difference for the test. It doesn't make a difference every time, but our statistics show about 88 to 90% of the time there is a difference based on the use of that tube. So that would be one thing. Two, let's assume that you did have the right tube used, and now you actually get the scores back for thyroid testing, let's say. You would want to know, well, gee, just because I'm in the reference range, is that good enough? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. In thyroid testing, the main test most doctors do is called your TSH. That's thyroid stimulating hormone. They generally don't order the package of five that we order for $58. They order just this one test, TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. By the way, that would retail for about $250 anywhere else, that test. Now, when they look at just the thyroid stimulating hormone, the range for that test, this is very important, so I'm going to say it twice, the range for that test has changed. It's gone from being a 0 to 4, it's really more a 0.40 to 4.4. Now it's more like a 0.52 to a 6.0. So let's go over that again. So the range has changed over the last several years. So let's say you had a 4.0 and the doctor suggested that you take some medication and you got started on medication. But now let's say your score is a 6. Well, the doctor might take you off medication because the new range now is up to 6. So were you supposed to be on the medication when you were a 4 and now you don't need it until you're a 6? And the answer is neither one of those scores are any good. You should be trying to get a score of 1.5 or less. So some people are okay at a 2. We have to look at that. It is an individual thing. But most people, 2, 1.5, 1.25, 1.0, those are where you're going to optimally have the best digestion, the best metabolism, the best energy level, the best sleep habits, the best bones, because thyroid affects all of those things. So that's one of the things that we do differently. That's one of the things we want to begin teaching people to understand. That's a test you really ought to do with us. There's very few people who are ever going to do that test, in my opinion, the right way, the way to get the most accurate score. Not what they do is wrong. It's just not necessarily the most accurate one you could get. And then I wanted to use it because isn't that interesting that the score range has changed?
Right.
I mean, now it's
yes,
six.
I didn't know it was like a movable.
Yeah. So now you have to be a 6.0 to get medication. But before, you could be a 4.0 and get medication. Now it's a 6.0. I will tell you in a few years it will be 8.0. Because thyroid disease is on the rise, and people have more problems with hypothyroidism, low thyroid. That's a very confusing term because everybody thinks if I have low thyroid, then I must have a low score. If you have low thyroid, you have a high score.
Right.
So 8.0, 10, that would be a high score, and that says you have low thyroid. You have hypothyroidism. And if people want to understand more about their thyroid, they could go to our website, to www.yourfuturehealth.com. If you don't mind, Mike, is that okay that I gave that
out? Yeah, oh, sure.
I should have asked first, I guess. But there is a whole program on the thyroid that I did a very, I think, nice, I've been given a lot of compliments on it, conference on the thyroid gland and its function, and it explains the tests that you would do and why you would do them. So people can get more detail for free. Just go and click on the thyroid conference, and they will be able to hear that talk and learn more about their thyroid. So that's just one test. We do multiple tests that we do them a little bit differently than how someone else would do them. It's how it's drawn, the order it's drawn in. Which tube do you draw first? Most people just can only get 3 tubes anyway, a basic standard tube and a little lavender tube. There are several tubes in the box. It doesn't mean that it hurts or it's difficult to do, but there are several tubes in the box. Some of them just take a little teeny bit of blood in them, but it's for a specific test. And we get the best result with that one tube, with that little bit of blood for that specific test. So that is some of what we're going to do that's different. When they actually get their scores and they want to understand their scores more, with our company, if they've tested with us, they only have to test one time, Cheryl. And they can come 50 times if they want for testing with us only once to our free conference calls. They're a group conference call where we use different people as examples by ID number, not by name. We then give them very specific information about their scores. And if you come enough times, you'll surely be one of the people that's selected to be the guest that day, if you will. We usually do 3, 4, 5 different people that we're working with, and then we show the others that are there. And now have your scores in front of you when you come to this talk, and we'll be referencing this person, but we'll say, now you look at yours. What does yours say? And we'll make it come alive for everyone that's on the conference call. That's totally free when they test with us. So the doctor's order is provided. That's very important. You don't have to have your doctor do it. This is done for prevention and educational purposes, so our doctor will order it. We have well over 100-some doctors on our staff. We have a doctor for every state. And basically, some more than that for each state. And they basically get the doctor's order. The kit is provided with the right tubes in it. And everything is labeled, their name, their date of birth, their ID number, our company account number is all on each and every tube, so nothing can get lost. I hate to say this, but there is some degree of error today in testing also, and that needs to be made tighter, and that is what we work on too. And then there's the reporting of the results coming across to us that we're going to send by email to the people, or they can have it by mail if they prefer. But a lot of people today want email. So it's faster. Of course, they don't have to wait on the mail to get it to them. But that's important because we actually take our results from the tube that it's running in the laboratory and that equipment, and it is coming directly to us by a state-of-the-art programming that we do. So we would actually know, Cheryl, if they did not use the piece of equipment that we stipulated to be used. And in cancer marker testing, that's very important because sometimes they will use a piece of equipment that's a little of lesser quality. It's a little less expensive to run the test, and we run all of the the best and most expensive tests and will know because of our programming that they didn't use the right piece of equipment. Not necessarily that it's the wrong test to be done if you had it done elsewhere, but it wouldn't be the most accurate. So, and that's particularly like with prostate scores and with breast cancer. There's certain tests that are more accurate than others, and it's worth paying the difference for getting those machines.
So you're offering a variety of tests, even though some of the blood workup may be similar to the traditional tests your doctor may provide.
Even have the same name.
But you're giving more in-depth results.
Yes. Let's talk about prostate for a minute. We said we didn't want to leave those gentlemen out that might be listening today.
Right.
Prostate scores, the average test that's done by your doctor, it's going to be accepted under insurance plans, is done on a different piece of equipment than the one we use. They might order something called a PSA2. That means they're going to get two scores. But they will run it on what I call the bad, less accurate equipment first, and then if it triggers anything on that piece, they'll run the second test, which is really the definitive one to find the cancer. We run everything, the first test and the second one, on the more expensive and the better piece of equipment. The more accurate piece of equipment. And we find cancer faster than other people do, especially in the area of the prostate. We have some gentlemen with 1.5 that already have prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. 1.5, the range is 0 to 4. And we find it at a 1.5. And the regular doctor would say, oh, you look great at 1.5. Great, super, super score. But if you don't get an accurate second score, it's called the free and the bound antigen. It's a little bit technical here. But there's a second score that's very important. And you want to have 100% free and zero bound. And if you do, you can have a 4.0 for your score, and you still don't have prostate cancer.
So it's more specific and therefore more accurate.
Right, exactly. And we rely on just that first score, and by the time you're a 4, you've already got it.
So you work with labs, obviously, who do the work for you, which are available out there, if doctors wanted to send the test to the pathology labs that you're working with, they could, but they're not the normal ones that are...
Well, they can't because it won't get covered by insurance or by the government.
Oh, so the really accurate ones, the most precise, aren't covered.
Right.
Wow.
That's why we have to pay a little bit more for them because, you know, the more you use a piece of equipment, the less costly the test becomes. And so, of course, not as many tests are done on this more expensive equipment. So the labs love us because we're using all of their best equipment, and that's helping their cost structure on those pieces of equipment. If we can get more tests run, we're going to help to get some of those costs down. But the way it is right now, 99% of testing is done on the lesser equipment. As I say, it's not bad equipment. When you really have the disease, it'll show that you have it. The problem is that's not good enough for us. We're trying to find it before you have it or in the very early stage when it wouldn't show up anywhere else. And you can then make changes to your diet, to your nutrients, to your thinking processes, to your exercise programs. You can make meaningful changes that can reverse cancer. Cancer can be reversed.
But
sometimes when
also,
it's too advanced, you cannot.
Ellie, I want to say that what you're doing in your testing is really assisting people to, first of all, have a really accurate, in-depth assessment that can address any health challenge they're dealing with, because all health issues are really going back to what the body isn't getting or isn't able to properly detoxify.
Exactly. You know, you might have a health issue that doesn't even have a name yet. And that would be a good one for Lena Wolf's story. She's also on our website, another nationwide and international story. We didn't pay for these. These weren't advertising. I was selected for these. I'm very proud to have been selected for them. Lena was 17, had a disease where if she stood up or sat down, if she stood up or even was sitting longer than 4 minutes, she passed out and would stop breathing. Now, what kind of horrible thing is that to have as a 17-year-old? Mm-hmm. And now she's 27 years old, and within about 3-4 months of our testing her, we were able to make some changes, and that was many years ago when I knew less than I know now. Mm-hmm. Now we could probably have fixed that even faster, or given her the ability to fix it for herself, which is really what happened. We didn't fix anything. She just had better information, and she made the changes and fixed it. And her story is, again, on our website. It's a beautiful story. You know, her mom says, no mom should have to worry about burying their child before themselves. And that's where they were. 12 or 13 different heart medications they had her on. And she now uses one medication. She did have a disease. I'd never heard of it before, didn't know what it was, didn't know how to treat it, and didn't care. All we did was balance what was out of balance, and she responded.
You know, the other interesting thing that that you shared with me in reading your book, I got a sense of it, is that you could be, let's say, diabetes, and we know that chromium is a mineral that helps the body manage glucose levels. But you can find through the testing and by comparison of tests from you know, baseline to something a little down the track, you can actually go in with the testing and find whether the nutrients you are using, your vitamins, your minerals, your supplements, your fish oils, are actually being absorbed by the cells and doing their jobs.
Right. Some brands are not the right brand for a particular person. We don't sell supplements. Our company doesn't sell supplements. We do help people in our special product program to get to the right place to find products that will work for them. But they have to be selected to get into this program, and it's a choice thing. Most of our individuals just get their products wherever they want to get them. Then when they come back and test with us, we say, it's not working. You need more of it. Let's try more. If more doesn't work, then it's definitely this product. Or while we can say right away, this product's simply not working for you. It might be the most expensive product in the world, may not be the right one for you. And my example to you on that is, I need a lot of magnesium. One of the cheapest $7 a bottle types of magnesium that would be horrible for 90% of the universe is the best product for me. And my scores will come right up with that product.
Right.
It's amazing. Most
right.
people would have diarrhea constantly from it and would absorb nothing, and it would be the worst product for them. So must find the right product. It's not necessarily the most expensive product that's the best product. Sometimes it is. But it's important to find the one that's going to make a difference. And the one that makes a difference, Cheryl, is the one that gets your score to come up where it belongs. And after you sustain that score, eventually you will feel the difference as well. Some people feel the difference even before the score comes up. But sometimes you have to wait and see the score come up and be patient. And then you'll say, no, I see it is working, and then you will feel the difference later. It's different for every person.
And in all honesty, if people, to understand how your body's responding, you may have to redo the test.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because we're going to put you in a statistical box, if you will, based on your age and your sex and your other test scores that we're looking at. You'll be in a statistical box. So this is where our first start point for you is. This is where we think you could be. We think this score is too high for you or too low for you or whatever, that you could do better than this. Then a second test after making some changes will reveal whether we were correct or not. If the score did respond in the way we told you, and it's not like we go, oh, see, that's what we wanted to happen. We tell you up front what we want you to have happen. And then when you come back, you're looking for the answer. Did it go down? Did it go up? What happened? And when it did, you know that what we told you is right.
You know, that's why I love the term you use, preventive blood testing, because we really should be using these tests to get a window into how our body is utilizing nutrients, how well it's functioning, and then be able to make adjustments through diet, lifestyle, you know, supplementation. And you know, I think it's important not just if you're dealing with some illness of some sort, some imbalance, some problem, be it cholesterol or, you know, more serious things, but also for those people who are really going for optimal health, who are in
right.
anti-aging, you know, focusing on anti-aging.
Are people working out in a gym? They don't realize how many nutrients they are using up working out in that gym and how they're exposing themselves to such a high risk of disease, all the while getting lots of exercise. Exercise is good, and I'm all in favor of it, but it does use up certain nutrients, and for some people, more than others. Better to get a test than no. Get a baseline, go on a really rigorous program, get a second test, see what you need to add more of. And
right.
zinc is usually one of those things.
Right. You've had some interesting experiences from the testing and looking at things such as the effects of certain drugs, like the statin drugs, and
yes.
what's happening. Do you have some interesting kind of insights that you want to share with us from what you've learned?
I do. I can't wait to share this. In fact, I'm so glad you brought this up. Statin drugs, I'm not I'm not against the concept of how great they are in lowering scores, but we need to look deeper. And deeper testing that we've done with what we call an expanded cholesterol test, and you'd said sometime maybe we'll just have a little bit of a time that I can really just nail that and explain it to people, mm-hmm. because your cholesterol has good and bad parts to it, but the good parts, hear me clearly, everybody, this is a little complicated, but just listen quietly for a minute. The good cholesterol has both good and bad parts to the good. So the good one isn't all good. It has protective and non-protective parts, and statin drugs make the non-protective part go up and the protective parts go down. And that's very significant, because then they'll say, well, you were taking the statin drug, you had a heart attack anyway. How'd that happen? Mm-hmm. Because although the good cholesterol as a total, looking at it, went up, the non-protective parts is what went up. And that means it's non-protective. It is not protecting you against a heart attack. So that's very important information, and statin drugs do that. Statin drugs also do something else. Statin drugs interfere with, for many individuals, not everyone, but for many, many individuals, interfere with your production of glutathione. And glutathione is the master antioxidant of the body that is there to protect us against cancer, and it's for our immune system. When we have a low glutathione level, we're in trouble. We're seriously, if you have low vitamin D and low glutathione, these are two tests you should not fail to do every year. If you, those two are low, you must go get the red blood cell test done next and find out what is it that's missing, what's not working, what do you not have enough of that you're not, or like with you, Cheryl, I don't know if you tell your people that, but let's say not you. Let's say with lots of individuals.
I tell my people everything.
You tell your people everything. Okay. So you have that gene that interferes with that. So we have to really be watching that all the time, because having the right glutathione level is key to not getting cancer. Having the right vitamin D, like Dog or David D, is key to not getting cancer. And, you know, these levels need to be monitored. So glutathione is something that, by the way, a lot of times glutathione can be interfered with stress, because the nutrients that are needed to keep glutathione up are often destroyed by the stress of a lot of exercise. So there are certain nutrients that are going to need to be supplemented more when someone is an exercise enthusiast. And the thing that bothers me the most is I see somebody at the gym and they go, I'm perfect, I feel great, my body looks fabulous, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, and then they get cancer or have a heart attack. They say, how did this happen?
Right, and it was there all along if they just knew where to look and how to
exactly
look.
It was there, and they were actually creating it with their exercise program.
Right.
And so what they want to do is exercise and protect their body while they're doing the exercise, and then they'll have the best of all worlds. They'll truly have a fit body with excellent circulation and all the cells protected at the same time. It just makes sense.
Ellie, you know, we're coming to the end. I want you to just very briefly share what you've noticed with people who've been vegetarians. You probably have some observations about
we do, actually.
Some of the consequences.
Careful, vegetarians do. One of my best friends actually is vegetarian, and I'm always telling her, we got to watch this, because there isn't. You can be a vegetarian and be extremely healthy. However, I do find that if you're not testing when you're a vegetarian, you're putting yourself at great risk, because it's too easy for certain nutrients to be missing, like the right amino acids. We think we do food combining, you know, we understand all that, but even though you do the right food combining, you don't always get all the amino acids you need. And those amino acids are just as important as that glucose is for having a healthy cell. And a lot of people are amino acid deficient, and then that is going to lead to disease. So vegetarians, their biggest struggle is getting enough of the amino acids in the right balance.
Right. That's great. Great information. So, okay, because this has been such an important conversation, Ellie, let's let people know where they can order the book, which is your book, Normal Blood Score Tests Aren't Good Enough, and
mm-hmm.
and your website.
Well, thanks. Our website is, and they can order the book there, is www.yourfuturehealth.com. yourfuturehealth.com, and they'll just go there. They can go to our customer service at yourfuturehealth.com. They can also go, well, let's just leave it at that. That's easy to remember. Customer service at yourfuturehealth.com, and just say, I'd like to order one of Ellie's books. I heard her on the Dr. Selman show, and that's all they would need to do. That will entitle them to a discount on the book as well. and we will get it right out to them. Then they can learn more from reading the book, and hopefully they'll want us to call them back and tell them about some testing that might be the right thing for them. There's no commission in my business. There is no pushiness in my business, ever, ever, ever. My goal is here to help people when they're ready to be helped. And the other way to call us is toll-free, 877-468-6934, 877-468-6934. That is on our website as well.
Okay, Ellie, we've come to the end. It's just been fascinating. I just recommend everybody visit Ellie's website. Certainly pick up the book. It can absolutely save your life. And we're going to have you back, Ellie, because you have so much to share with us. So we'll definitely be doing more shows. Thank you so much for the great work you're doing.
Thank you, and have a great day, and stay cool.
Thanks. And this is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know with my special guest today, Ellie Cullen. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.